Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek : A Glee Podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Boom. Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
All right. Hello, everyone.
Hi, everyone. My name is Lena Knatzer, and I am a Gleek.
My name is Ian Allred, and I am a Glee.
Oh my god.
What?
I really jumped the gun on that one because I keep forgetting to do that. So I just thought we should introduce ourselves at the beginning before we forget.
So we don't forget about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
We're really thinking outside the box today. We currently, because something's going on with the internet again. And it was getting so bad that the audio and visual kept cutting out. So we're on the phone with each other,
yeah. But
on video cam muted, so we can see each other's faces. But when the video cam freaks out, we're still on the phone.
Yeah, so hopefully this will work out. I mean, honestly, I don't spend a lot of time on the phone here in my college town. So hopefully this works out.
Yeah, truly, I hate talking on the phone. So you know what? We're trying new things
yeah.
or old things that we don't like. We're trying them again.
We're learning and we're growing. All right, Ian, how are
Hello,
you?
Everyone.
What's going on? Talk to me
you
about
know,
your life.
Just living life, having a party every day.
Of course.
I bought a new phone, which would be exciting, but it actually kind of sucked. Because what happened was my old phone broke like a year ago. And so I needed to get, like, it broke to the point that, like, the screen wouldn't turn on anymore.
Right.
So I took it into the store, and they were like, there's nothing we can do. And so they just gave me the same model again, but I had to pay, like, $150, which is, like, pretty cheap for a phone, honestly.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But then recently I was having issues with it where it was, like, wasn't running apps well, and it was having all these problems. And I took it into Verizon, and they were like, well, the issue is that this phone is so old because it's the old model. And I was like, are you kidding me? I bought this a year ago. So
yeah.
I just, like, wasted $150 on a phone that's already obsolete. So on a Wednesday, I was door dashing, and I didn't get a single order. I just kept getting texts from DoorDash saying, we tried to send an order to your phone, but it wouldn't go through.
No.
And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. This phone is so old, which honestly, the model is only like 5 years old. So how fast is technology becoming obsolete?
Right.
But I was like, this phone is so old that I can't even do my job. Like, I can't make money because my phone is too old. So I was like, it's time to bite the bullet and just buy a new phone. So I went to Verizon, and I was so annoyed that I tried to, like, get a sweet deal last time by getting a cheap old phone and then got swindled,
mm-hmm.
that I was like, I'm just gonna do what I need to do and buy the newest phone so it has no problems and it lasts the longest. So I straight up bought an iPhone 11, like, broke the bank.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Spent essentially, like, most of the money that I've made door dashing.
Yeah.
And as I have paid them. I have the iPhone in my hand. As I am walking out of the store, I get an email from DoorDash that says, hey, sorry, 2 days ago our app was glitching, so there were issues worldwide. So it wasn't even my phone's fault. And the thing is, I waited 2 days. They waited so long to tell us that I had already purchased a new phone. So I just wasted all that money. I was so pissed off.
Oh, my God. You know what? DoorDash, if you're listening, you better pay Ian.
You owe me so much money.
Yo, oh, my God. That's terrible.
And they straight up, they were like, to make it up to all of you, we are removing any bad ratings that you got that day, which they should do.
Yeah.
And they were like, and we're going to remove, because you get like a score on how many orders you accept. And they were like, we're taking all of that out of your score because we know that there were glitches. And they were like, and also as a bonus, we're going to add $1.50 to your account.
Are you joking my ass?
And I was like, that one app glitch cost me multiple hundreds of dollars.
Yeah,
and you're like,
sure.
And here's $1.50. Go buy yourself something nice. Yeah, I was pretty upset about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, literally no one is free under capitalism. This makes me mad for you. I'm so sorry.
Honestly, DoorDash, how dare you?
I know. Oh, that's terrible.
But I have an iPhone 11 now, so yeah. I mean, I got that out of it, I guess. How was your week?
My week was good. I saw that you got an iPhone because you and I share an email account, and it says, like, hey, Recovering Gleek, saw you just got onto Twitter with your new iPhone. And I was like, Ian, moving up in the world. My week was fine. It was fine. Nothing crazy has happened. Been doing rehearsal, been doing school, been doing the thing. Me and my friend, we went on a little hike this weekend. I don't know. Life is just meh. Getting ready for my birthday coming up.
Heyo!
Heyo! 24 karat magic over here.
Heyo!
Heyo!
In the air tonight.
But, you know, my week's been fine. I'm chilling.
Good.
Finally went grocery shopping. Oh my God, you'll kill me. So I have an irrational fear of doing anything by myself, and I've never, like, I haven't owned a car since I've been in college. So I've been like, I usually go grocery shopping with my roommates, but I bought a car this summer so I can do stuff by myself now. So it's been hard learning how to like go grocery shopping by myself and like go do like, you know, tasks that I need to do by myself. But this week I've really had to like buckle down and be like, okay, Lena, you're an adult. You need to go grocery shopping by yourself. And you know what? I totally did it. And I've been making my own crunch wraps at home instead of going to Taco Bell. And wow, big pat on the back for this bitch. I'm doing great.
I'm so proud of you.
Thanks.
So proud of you.
Yeah. And we're recording this episode right before I have to leave for rehearsal for my show.
Heck yeah.
Feeling good.
Good.
Are you ready to talk about Glee, my bro?
Yeah, honestly, we're on a time constraint because like you said, you do have to leave. So you know, let's get into it.
I could quit. Who cares? All right.
Yeah, honestly, this podcast is more important.
It
so
is.
Just let them know.
It is. Okay. Which goes first, Glax or the recap? I don't
Glax, homie,
okay.
Do you listen to our podcast?
You know, here's the dealio. I sure do. I just am stupid. Okay, let's talk about Glee, Episode 6, Vitamin D. It first aired on October 7th, 2009, and it was directed by Elodie Keene. Oh gosh, I'm so terrible. You'd think that I would like Google how to say these people's names, but I really don't. Elodie Keene, that's what I'm going to say it is. Elodie Keene. She directed a bunch of like my favorite episodes in season one. She is the bomb diggity. And then written by Ryan Murphy. And I'm just going to say this here and now. I think the episodes that are just written by Ryan Murphy, they're so funny. This episode was very funny to me, and I can tell that it was all Ryan Murphy. What? Shut
lest
up.
Lest we forget, he wrote Acapellas.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, Ryan Murphy, answer for your crimes, but, you know, this is what he can do.
This episode rocks, so
yeah.
I'm not going to pretend it doesn't, but,
yeah.
Like, let's not make any general statements
you're
about
right.
him without acknowledging the facts. I also have to tell you.
Tell me.
Do you want to know something I discovered yesterday that's embarrassing that
yes.
I didn't realize it before?
About me?
My... No.
I'm kidding.
I'm sorry. It's not about you, though. My cousin's name is Ryan Murphy, and that never... And, like, my family is one where, like, our extended family is close. Like, I see my cousins multiple times a year. It never clicked in my mind until last night that his name is Ryan Murphy.
Oh my God, Ryan, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I guarantee that he's never going to listen to this.
Oh,
but
sure.
Ryan, if you listen to this podcast, I love you. It's the other Ryan Murphy that I hate. Yeah. It's just like, I've never thought of him and Glee in the same thought.
Right, yeah.
So it never, they were just always different entities. And then last night I was thinking about Glee because I was making Glee TikToks because that is what I do with all my time now. And then I went on Facebook and it was like Ryan Murphy posted something and I was like, Ryan Murphy, why is he on my Facebook? And then I looked at the picture and I was like, oh, my cousin's name is Ryan Murphy.
Yeah.
So surprise to me, I've been trashing my own family this whole time.
Honestly, Glee like consumes your every waking thought. I'm surprised that...
I know. Shocking.
Jeez. Sorry, Ryan Murphy. I hope you take full offense to everything we say about Ryan Murphy on this Ryan Murphy hate podcast.
I apologize to you, Ryan Murphy. And to you, Ryan Murphy, I need you to step off. I freaking hate you.
All right. Let's keep going with the Glax, shall we? So, we have two songs in this episode. And this is the episode where we introduce our mashups, which, like, mashups are... You know, Glee's bread and butter. We love them. So
I will say,
tell me.
Over time, Glee does reach diminishing returns with the amount of mashups they do.
And I mean, they reach diminishing returns with everything they do.
With everything they do in the entire show.
Like, I'm not.
But in this episode, no complaints about them. They're wonderful.
Straight up. And honestly, in season two, like, I mean,
season one. Oh, yeah. It's not. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. Honestly, having a great time. So we have two songs in this episode. Four songs, if you will, two mashups. So we have, the first song we have is It's My Life / Confessions Part 2, originally by Bon Jovi and Usher, respectively. And that's the boys singing that song. And then we have Halo / Walking on a Sunshine by Beyonce and Katrina and the Waves, respectively. Only two songs in the whole episode. Wow.
But famously covered by Ali and AJ.
Yeah.
For the smash hit Hollywood feature, Herbie Fully Loaded.
Whoa, truly. Oh my God. Do you know, okay, I randomly know a lot about, like, Herbie Fully Loaded drama. And what's her bucket? Her name escapes me.
Lindsay Lohan?
Lindsay Lohan. Okay, so Lindsay Lohan recorded, give me a break. Lindsay Lohan recorded a song, right, for Herbie Fully Loaded. And it didn't play during the movie at all. And no one told Lindsay Lohan. And it was the first song that played in the credits. And so she sat there the entire movie waiting for her song to play. And it played at the beginning of the credits. She got up and walked out. I know.
She was so pissed they put it in the credits.
Yeah. I think about that way too goddamn frequently.
Oh my God.
I know.
And it was like the first credit song. That's a big deal spot.
But I think she was under the impression that it was going to be in the show.
She wanted a montage.
I think she did. And I think in, like, her mind, that's what she was promised, and that's not what she got.
Whatever, Lilo.
Anyway. So that was your first Glack. Here's your second Glack.
Do you want to hear? Wait, I'm so sorry.
No,
On the topic of people being snubbed, this is an actual snub, though. I was listening to Showmance because, as usual, I was trying to steal information from them that I could just blatantly put in our podcast as if we came up with it. And as we have mentioned, Tina gets screwed over by the writers constantly.
Constantly.
Did you know that was just because the writers actually just screwed over Jenna Ushkowitz in real life?
No, tell me.
Straight up, this one's not that bad. They forgot to put her name in the credits of the pilot. So when she saw the pilot and her name didn't show up in the credits, she thought that she had been fired and that they were writing her character out of the show. That one's just a misunderstanding.
Yeah,
it was the pilot, whatever.
But that still
this
sucks.
This one is like, I would be crushed.
Yeah.
So they did the Glee 3D movie where they did the big concert, the Glee concert, the Glee tour, and they taped it, they released it in theaters. They put the entire cast on the poster except for Jenna Ushkowitz. They left her off the poster. And then she went to the premiere and they had cut her number, her only song in the entire concert, they cut it out and they didn't tell her. So she showed up to the premiere with like all her friends and family to be like, here's my big moment, and they cut the song out. That, Ryan Murphy, that's why I hate you. And Ryan Murphy, that's why I'm sorry that I didn't realize you shared a name with Ryan Murphy.
That is evil. Like, yeah. That's not, I don't even have any
Once
jokes
again,
to make about that. That is absolutely terrible.
Justice for Tuna Ko and Chang, that is so jacked up.
That is terrible. Ugh. Honestly, that's the thing that I hate about this whole show. And, like, I think we'll talk about it more as we go along, but, like, the drama that happened behind the scenes of this show, I mean, this isn't a drama podcast, and I'm not going to pretend like it is, but, like, the hierarchy of, like, it just feels like a popularity contest within the actors, and, like, it's terrible.
Ryan Murphy is Will Schuster.
He is.
But he had his favorite cast members, and those cast members got all the solos, and they got all the storylines, and the cast members that he, like, didn't share some special bond with, he just swept under the rug.
And that's just fucking evil. Oh, my God.
And that's why Will Schuster freaking sucks.
Yeah.
And yet the show wants us to believe he's a great teacher is because he's based off essentially how Ryan Murphy treated the cast.
And that's crazy because
anyways.
This show is, like, all about, like, being a part of something, like, makes you special and, like, misfits getting their chance. And it's, like, it, like, preaches that to you week after week and, like, gives you stuff that is, like, genuinely good, like, lessons, and you can just, like, the characters never learn those lessons. You can tell, like, within all of the actors, they're not treating each other like that. They don't believe that, and I hate it. I hate to see it. Jeez.
Yeah. But, I liked this episode.
I loved this episode. Oh my God, I loved this episode. I'm gonna keep going with these glacks. How about?
Yeah. Yes,
so
yes.
this is the first episode in which every single song was released, so you could get it on iTunes. Interesting, right? Just for people at home, I am getting these glacks from glee.fandom.com, so don't think I'm a writer here. This episode starts the annual tradition of the boys versus girls mashup competition, and it takes place in every season on the sixth episode until season four when they fuck it up. Yeah, isn't
okay,
classic,
I was about
right?
to say, I watched season four recently and I don't remember that.
Yeah, they do it on the fifth episode. I don't know why, but they
wait, it's the fifth?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, I was totally off. I was thinking of something they did in the second half of the season. Never mind.
But either way, they fuck up the tradition, and honestly, that just like goes to that's season four for you, you know?
For real. Season four dropped the ball big time
really
in a big
did.
Way.
Yeah. Oh my, I cannot wait to get there. Oh my gosh. You know, I love writing on Glee so much, but these first couple episodes are just, they're bangers.
These first episodes are so great good. To watch and terrible to talk about.
Oh, for sure. Because
I'm like, what am I supposed to say? Straight up, when I recently, because I finished the show, I like watched the whole thing. So now I will just recently pick an episode at random. And I'm always like, I have so many things to say about what I'm watching right now. And yet we are quite a few weeks off until we get to this point.
Yeah, honestly. But we'll get there, and we'll get there hard. And you know what? It's going to be awesome. So this is the first episode to not feature a solo. And to my knowledge, it's one of the only ones. There's not a lot, but this is the very first episode where there's not like a standout featured performer, which honestly, I love to see it. I really do. And this is also the first and only episode that contains all mashups. Whoa. This, and it says on here that this episode contains the fewest amount of musical numbers, but to my knowledge, they're like, which was the one when they were working on West Side?
We said that about Preggers, but
yeah.
The thing is, the Glee fandom page counts anytime music is on screen as a musical number.
Oh.
Yeah, so they counted like Single Ladies as a musical number.
Oh, sure.
And they counted Rachel singing like 16 bars of What Do You Say, or Taking Chances, I mean, as a musical number.
Yeah.
So, like, even though this one is two full songs and Preggers was, like, three different 15-second sound bites, they still count that as having more musical numbers.
Hmm. Interesting. Anyway, and one of the, oh my God, one of the facts on here is Terry mentions to Emma that Ken's, quote-unquote, fondue pot of nationalities would leave any child they had open to a multitude of genetic diseases. A diverse ethnic background actually makes a person less likely to be affected by genetic disorders, seeing as faulty genes cancel each other out. So
that's right, yeah. Glee.fandom. You set that racist record straight.
No, literally. Terry, oh my god, I can't wait to talk about Terry in this episode. But like I have such a tough time with her sometimes because I love her. I love her. But then she's also super racist.
No, she has that was another I think the lines of Terry's that don't hit well with me are the racist ones.
Yeah, and she always gets the racist lines. And it's,
I know, and
it's
I love all of her lines except those ones. I'm always like, but you could have cut that one out.
Yeah. And I don't even think they're funny. I don't think they're funny.
Yeah.
She has way funnier lines that aren't racist. Anyway. That's all my clacks.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Let's do, oh gosh, okay, the reason I was late to recording today
is because you don't value my time.
Is because I don't view you as a human being that's worth my time.
I'm not.
No, it was because I was trying to practice this because I cannot say boys versus girls mashup fast. And I was just trying to run it over and over again. So let's see if I can do it. Here we go.
Okay, I'm ready.
Here's what you missed on Glee. Will is having trouble motivating the Glee Club, so he decides to hold a boys versus girls mashup competition in order to light a fire under them. Meanwhile, Sue convinces Terry to get a job as the McKinley High School nurse to keep an eye on Will and Emma. As school nurse, Terry prescribes the tired students with the stuff they put in cold medicine to make it non-drowsy, leading to an extremely high energy performance. In the meantime, Terry convinces Ken Tanaka to propose to Emma and intimidates Emma into accepting. After Principal Figgins finds out about the Glee Club using performance-enhancing drugs, he fires Terry and deems Will unfit to run the club on his own, thus instating Sue as co-director. And that's what you missed on Glee!
Did it! That was so good. Ian, you're not a human person. Are you on in performance-enhancing drugs?
I am. I took vitamin D before this. Thank you for noticing. Also, isn't vitamin D sunlight? Isn't that what sunlight gives you?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, honestly, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't stupid.
I don't understand much about science and drugs. So this episode was a little confusing to me.
No, that it truly was. Me watching this episode, I was like, they could tell me literally anything about these over-the-counter drugs and I would believe it because I know nothing about prescription and non-prescription medicine. I have no idea.
Me neither. All I know is
if a doctor tells me to take something, I will take it, no questions asked, which is it's a doctor, so like they would know. But maybe I should educate myself a little bit.
Maybe. Hear me out. Because I'm so ill-educated in, like, medicine and health and all that kind of stuff, I watched this episode, and I was like, should I go to the store and get some of this?
Okay, but, I mean, no, you shouldn't. But no, I'd be lying if I said I didn't think the same thing. I was like, wow, look at, the episode is like, does not beat around the bush. No. Like, very clear that this is ethically wrong. Yeah. And I was like, man, but look at how productive they are. Should I get in on that? That's like, there's a joke in the TV show 30 Rock, which is a great TV show. I love it. But there's a joke about how these drug lords were sneaking cocaine and baby dolls, across the border. But the baby dolls accidentally got intercepted and, like, some family bought them. And then it just cuts to these two little girls. And they're like, oh, my gosh, we can do so many things right now. We could color. Play house. We could do this. We could do this. And in that moment, for a split second, I was like, wow, honestly, if cocaine makes you that productive, like, maybe it's not that bad.
Honestly.
Cocaine is, I haven't tried it, thankfully, but it is so bad. Do not do it.
Yeah,
but
guys and gals and non-binary pals, please don't do drugs.
That is just, like, where my brain goes, because I'm always so stressed out that I'm like, oh, I know it gives you crippling addiction, and it ruins all of your relationships, and it ruins your entire life, but honestly, it helps you get stuff done, so, like.
Literally. Like, the scene where Finn is walking down the hallway, and is like, hey, Mr. Shu, I did that essay, I'm on fire! I was like, I need that feeling. I need that feeling right now. Because, like, literally, like, Finn in this episode is me this week. Like, I've just been tired. Like, stuff's been, you know, like, school's happening. After school curricular activities are happening. You know, like, you know, balancing all the things. I was like, like, I am Finn in this episode. And then I was like, I want to do drugs. I want to do drugs and not feel like Finn in this episode, you know? Gosh, but I feel this like they
is,
do.
This is when you find out that Lena and I are very susceptible to peer pressure.
We are! Oh my god, we so are. But I feel like, hear me out, they do a good job at the end of the episode with Mr. Figgins doing his whole speech. Mr. Figgins, I feel like, is a character they make look dumb a lot, but they make him, his speech at the end where he's like, no, for real, like, this is, like, the main ingredient in meth, and, like, it is wrong to be doing this. I feel like they handled all that really well, which is something I can't say about Glee a lot of the time, but I feel like they made it, you know, watching Howard get arrested and, like, you know, all of that, I was okay.
Can I just say, I have in my notes,
no.
when the cops tackle Howard, his head bounced.
Okay.
It hits the ground, it flies way back in the air, smacks the ground again. It looks like he is concussed.
I know, literally.
He is not coming back from that.
Oh my god. Ugh. Howard Bamboo is absolutely my favorite small bean in the whole world. When Terry calls him on the phone and she's like, "Hey Howard, it's Terry." And then he goes, "Hey Terry, it's Howard." I was like, "I want to adopt him. Like, I need him."
Howard Bamboo.
He's my very favorite. I love him.
But just watching this episode, my mother was also watching it, she did think it was funny, but she was like, I don't know if she was like, I don't know if it's a good idea to, like, have this storyline for teenagers about, like, how you can take this drug and it makes you way more productive. And I was like, first of all, Mom, no teenager is going to fall for that. Meanwhile, both you and I are like, I was thinking maybe I should try.
I was like, wait, they stock this by the candy bars? Give me some.
Seem like, meanwhile, your 25-year-old son just thought, like, maybe it's a pretty good idea. But also I said, it's very clear by the early episodes that the writers thought that Glee was going to be, like, they thought the audience for Glee was going to be mainly adults.
Yeah.
And then were surprised when it was mainly teenagers. And so later on, they have to kind of, like, do stronger morals and, like, lean away from doing, like, really jacked up stuff. And honestly, it is a responsible thing for them to have done. But it is to the detriment of the show.
Yeah, certainly.
It is hysterical to me that the school nurse prescribes all of these kids with this drug that makes them, like, so, like, crazy-eyed, high-energy, insane the whole episode.
They're on meth.
That's hysterical.
On meth.
It's so funny.
I know.
And it's super ethically wrong, but I love in the early episodes of the show when they're not worried about, like, how the audience is going to perceive it. And they're like, yeah, why not? All these kids are high at school. Whatever.
And, like, you know, as a person who has been watching more and more, like, Ryan Murphy television shows recently, I swear to God, I've seen all of them. And I'm already on season two.
Have you watched Ratchet?
No, I'm in the middle of watching American Horror Story right now. I gotta finish American Horror Story season two, and then I'm gonna watch it. Have you watched it?
No, I have not.
Are you going to?
I just knew it came out. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because I watched the trailer, and I do not like gore. It is like, I love, like, stories about murder and, like, stories about gore. Like, I can hear it because I can censor it in my mind.
Yeah.
But just, like, seeing it is too much for me to take in.
Yeah.
I don't think I could stomach it, so I will not be watching it.
Yeah. I certainly will, because unlike you, I love gore. I love scary movies. I love haunted houses. I'm loving
honestly,
American Horror
how are you
Story
feeling
right
with Halloween season coming?
Honestly, Halloween season is already here. My roommate / friend of the podcast just bought a bunch of Halloween decorations for the apartment. I'm a person who, I start celebrating Halloween, like, in September. I love Halloween, honestly. Tweet me, I'll send you a spooky gif. Oh, I love Halloween. I wish I could go to, like, haunted houses this season, but, like, I do not feel safe going to haunted houses in this, you know, pandemic grossness. Ugh.
Oh, yeah.
So I won't be doing that, but I'll miss it. But I'm feeling good.
Literally,
I'm my ultimate self right now.
My Halloween plan is I'm going to visit my sister in Salt Lake on Halloween, and we're just going to sit in her apartment and watch scary movies.
I love it.
And we're gonna dress, because we had this idea for a costume literally when we were in high school, and we just never did it. So now 10 years later, we're going to dress up like Pugsley and Wednesday Addams and watch scary movies together.
I love that. That's awesome. What am I going to do for Halloween this year? I'm not sure. I mean, it's a pandemic, but it's on a Saturday and it's on a full moon. Whoa.
What terrible timing for this pandemic. Anyways, so where were we? I'm so lost. I can't even remember. Oh, yeah. So I just think I have problems with Ryan Murphy, even in his shows geared towards adults.
Yep.
But I do think they work a lot better because Ryan Murphy, back to Ratchet. Sorry, but I was watching the trailer. Let's get Ratchet. I was watching the trailer and one of the comments said, well, knowing this is by Ryan Murphy, I imagine the themes will be as subtle as a jackhammer to the balls. And I was like, amen, because that man does not know subtlety if it, like, bit him on the face. He freaking clubs his audience to death with his morals, and in a show that is targeted to teenagers where, like, he really thinks that it's his responsibility to, like, teach them how to be good people, every episode after the show became popular, every episode is so clearly like, here's the moral. Did you get the moral? This is the moral. Mm-hmm. This is what your takeaway should be. This is the moral. It's exhausting. So I love this episode that was filmed before they knew the show was going to be a hit. And it does have a moral, but the moral isn't like too heavy-handed. And also it just like lets itself be crazy and awful and doesn't worry about what message it's sending across.
Yeah, I totally agree. And like, I feel like they still got some sort of moral across, you know, like they were like, don't take performance enhancing drugs. That's the moral, you know? And like, but I feel like they just like handled it pretty well. I don't know. I totally agree.
Also,
and it's still funny to me.
The genius of doing a story about the dangers of performance enhancing drugs, but it is people taking performance enhancing drugs for show choir.
I know.
So funny. Because if they did this storyline and it was like Puck and Finn are taking performance-enhancing drugs so their football team could win, my eyes would roll out of my head. I would be like so not on board for that. But it is so like such a ridiculous scenario that this freaking choir, and it's not even like they're not even taking the drugs to do well in regionals. It is a competition against other kids in their choir, like the most low stakes environment possible. Mm-hmm. And they're taking performance enhancing drugs. Very funny. I loved it. I ate that crap up.
I know. It was so good. I love this episode. I also love how the only way that those boys would ever beat those girls is,
oh my god,
on drugs, obviously.
Literally, when Mr. Shu was like boys versus girls, I wrote in my notes, the girls have this in the bag. What dude can stand up against Mercedes, Rachel, and Santana?
No one.
Like, there's no contest.
No.
Also, okay, here's the deal.
Tell me the issue.
With how this competition is set up. First of all, the girls have it in the bag. There's no contest. But, like, whatever. Let the boys compete. But,
excuse me.
I will say, bless you, that was a violent sneeze.
I'm a violent sneezer, yo.
But I will say, the boys have to perform a day before the girls. Unfair advantage to the girls. They get an extra day of rehearsal, and they get to see what they're up against. That's unfair. I won't allow it. They should perform on the same day. Secondly, Rachel tells Will that his gender makes him biased, so they need to get another judge. And so they pick Emma. Does her gender not make her biased?
Well, if they have a boy and a girl, you know, well, if we're talking about the gender binary.
Oh, is Will also judging?
Yeah.
I truly thought it was just Emma.
No.
Wow. Okay, well, my apologies, Glee writers. Now that I think back, that was very explicitly obvious. I'm just stupid. So, sorry.
Remember how Kurt really wanted to be on the girls' team? And then freaking Mr. Shu was like, no, Kurt, you can't be on the girls' team.
Okay, hear me out on this, though.
No.
And I will 100%.
I won't hear you.
I will 100%.
I'm not listening.
I will say I could be wrong. So, like, please take this with a grain of salt, everyone. Kurt is not trans. Kurt identifies as a boy.
Mm-hmm.
If it was a trans girl And Will was like, yeah, but biologically, I would be up in his face. I'd be so pissed about it. But Kurt does identify as a boy. And, like, the numbers are even boys who, like, people who identify as men and people who identify as women. So I'm not too up in arms about that, you know? I understand that he, like, was more comfortable on the girls' team. But I'm not as, like...
Yeah.
Let's take down the system about it. I might be wrong on that. I am apologize if I am, but no. I was not like full of righteous indignation when it happened.
No, I totally get that. I was mad because you know, let him. I don't know. I just think like boys versus girls things are like just it's 2020. I'm over that, you know.
Yeah, I know, but it was 2009.
Sure. It was 2009. Anyway, oh my God, I have to tell you. So I watched this episode. I had class until 1, right? So I just watched the episode at 1 o'clock as soon as I got out of class. And then I took notes on it. Ooh! And then my iPad died, and I was taking notes on my iPad. And then I plugged in my iPad, got it all booted up again, and all my notes were deleted.
No.
So I had to rewatch the episode and take notes and try and remember what I put down. It's like so mad. But it's
fine. That's terrible.
I know. There's worse things than watching Glee 2 times in a row. This episode is very good, so.
Yeah, especially this episode. The reason this episode freaking rocks for me is because it is a Terry Schuster-centric episode.
Oh, my God. You're right.
As all of you know, we are here for Jesslyn Gilsig. We love her so much. She is hysterical in this show. She's hysterical in this episode. I love having her just, like, throw a wrench. Like, she works at this school for, like, what, a week? Maybe. And literally in 1 week gets all the kids to do drugs. Gets Emma... Like, convinces Ken Tanaka to propose to Emma, a woman who clearly is not into him, scares Emma into accepting the proposal of a man she's not into, and gets Will, like, makes it so that Will has to have a co-director because he's not viewed as responsible enough. Truly, so many things accomplished in 1 week. So proud of her.
Honestly,
she does
she's
such
doing
a
great.
Bad job. Love her to death.
She has got like mad Slytherin energy in the best way. Like, she has like so much ambition in this episode. She sees it. She works hard. She grinds till she owns it, you know? Ugh.
And
I love
honestly,
her.
Absolutely no excuses for her getting the kids hooked on drugs.
There's none.
But the Will and Emma stuff, I'm on her side 100%.
Me too. Let's talk about
I'm
that.
Like,
let's talk about
yeah.
that. Okay. So.
Yeah.
I would like to say, just as a person, and she says it, Terry says it in the episode, flirting is cheating. Emotional cheating is still cheating. Will is cheating on Terry. Whether they hold hands or they kiss or they don't, he is holding a relationship with this woman who is already in a relationship, and he is in a relationship with a woman who is literally pregnant. And Terry...
I mean,
literally knows about
who he thinks is pregnant.
Yeah, she's not literally pregnant. I don't know why I said literally. but it is so madness. And he is so mean to her in this episode. And like, from Will's perspective, this is what's happening. He has a wife whom he loves, who is pregnant. And she got a job to be closer to him. I don't think Will is smart enough to understand like all the things she is doing, but like just looking at it objectively, like he should be happy to be spending more time with her. And he is so terrible to her in this episode. He is so mean to her, and he's like, we shouldn't be spending this much time together. And like, you know, in relationships there is obviously like you need like space and you need that time, but like, doesn't he have classes he's teaching? Doesn't he have, like, stuff to do? She's been busy, like, you know, running this whole thing, school all week. What is he doing? And he still has time. She still has time to, like, make time for him and make sure her husband isn't cheating on her. It is madness to me. Will Schuster belongs in jail. Ugh.
I will say, I understand where Will's coming from, where he's like, we can't be around each other all the time.
And I totally get that, too.
Yeah. So I will say, devil's advocate for Will Schuster in that one line specifically.
Sure.
The rest of the episode, he like, when he gets mustard on his chin, first of all, how bad is this man's hand-eye coordination that he put the sandwich on his chin?
Yeah.
Because later on, bottom of it he has it. Yeah, later on he has it on the top of his mouth like who hasn't been there. How do you get mustard on the bottom of your chin? He's just like, all right, into the mouth. Oops, it hit my neck. But Emma tells him that he has mustard on his chin and he keeps trying to get it with his tongue all sexy. Like,
he belongs in jail.
He is so openly flirting with this woman.
In front of all married. Of his coworkers.
I know, it is like embarrassing to me, so shameful. There is no excuse. I will say, I understand that you do need space from your significant other. Sure. So like, if it was anyone else but Will Schuster, I'd be like, yeah, I get your point. But like, Will Schuster wants this space because he wants to be having his emotional affair.
Exactly.
And he's mad that he can't be having his emotional affair anymore.
And that's exactly why he needs space, is because he needs space to be literally trying to get with this woman. And Emma's doing it too.
Emma?
Yeah.
I, as a rule, like Emma more than Will.
Oh, for sure.
Obvious reasons. Obvious. But she is so in the wrong in this episode. Straight up, I was listening to Showmance because they have Jesslyn Gilsig on to talk about this episode. And she says that she was so shocked when Glee aired how much people hated Terry. Because she was like, yeah, she's not a great person, but like, this is her husband.
Yeah.
She's like, this is her husband, and he is openly flirting with this other woman, and this other woman knows that he's married, and as far as she's aware, he has a baby on the way, and she's cool with it. That's like, we cannot... Will is more in the wrong, because he is the one who's married, but like, Emma knows that Terry is pregnant, or at least thinks she is, and she knows that he's married, and she has no issue with it.
Exactly.
When I love Terry's line, and it's like, framed in a way that she's supposed to be a villain, but she walks into Emma's office and she says, you're so superior because you're nice to a man you see for an hour or two a day. And I was like, amen. That is so correct.
Exactly.
Like, Terry lives with him. She has known him for years. Obviously, she's going to have more problems with him than someone who sees him during her lunch break, and that's it. It's so easy to have, like, a flirtatious, no-problem affair with someone when you're only seeing him for 1 hour a day.
Exactly.
Honestly, Terry Schuster, you both do deserve better and don't deserve better.
Exactly. You know what? And they're both terrible people, and Terry sucks, but, like, Terry's right in this. And you know what? Emma is lucky that Terry doesn't fucking beat her ass. Like, she goes into the office and is literally like hands it to her and is like, listen, he is literally married. I don't know what you're trying to do here. And then Emma's like, well, he deserves better than you. And like, I cannot even imagine being Terry in that situation.
And also, like, I can't get over the fact Emma thinks Terry is pregnant.
Exactly.
Like, I, first of all, if someone is married, it's, like, not your business.
Yeah.
They're married.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, you're not just telling this woman, like, hey, he deserves better than you as his wife. It is, like, you think she's having a baby, and they're gonna, like, raise this baby together, and you're actively trying to, like, get them to break up as this baby is being born.
Yeah.
Emma, friend of the podcast, Jama Mays, I love you so much. You have some answering to do for this episode.
Yep, you really do. And, like, I feel like in just the last, like, an episode or two ago, Emma sat Will down and was like, what are we doing here? And Will was confused about the entire situation, and we're here a couple episodes later doing the same dance. What is going on?
Zaddy Schuster's just too sexy. She can't stay away.
When he puts his tongue on his chin, it makes me want to commit arson. I hate that. Oi!
He gets that mustard on his chin. Everything she's ever said flew out the window. She doesn't care anymore. She's in it. She's there.
Hear me out. A bunch of the last like reviews we've gotten on the podcast are literally just people being like, down with Zaddy Schuster. Yeah.
And honestly, amen.
I know. Honestly, everyone who's saying
there's
that to
the
us,
one,
I love
there's
it.
There's the one that it's like, every time you guys talk about Will, I'm like, yeah, let's kill him.
Honestly, let's. Okay, once this pandemic's over, I was going to say, let's get together and murder Matthew Morrison.
No!
But that's
our
not...
Our rule for this podcast is that we separate the actors from the characters.
For legal reasons, that was a joke. I am not looking to murder Matthew
Morrison.
That is why
That's why I can say that I don't like Emma in this episode, and yet Jayma Mays is still my home girl friend of the podcast.
She is friend of the podcast. And, you know, and that's so true. They, what Jesselyn Gilsig said, like, it's so funny, like, that everyone sees Terry as this bad person. And she's doing bad things, obviously, like, obviously. But, like, everyone loves Emma. And, you know, Emma's not, like, just because she's nice doesn't make her a good person, you know?
Well, Jesselyn Gilsig straight up says, she was like, if this episode was told with Terry as the main character, people would be so against Emma.
Yeah. Jesselyn.
It is like, as I said in Showmance, I just... that Will Emma thing, I can't get on board with it while he's married.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Writers.
And I'm just, this storyline of Will, and he doesn't even acknowledge it. That's the weird thing to me. Not once has Will ever acknowledged that he...
that he's, like, having an emotional affair.
No, not at all. He just, like, yeah, everyone like talks
so
about it around him.
He thinks Terry is pulling this out of thin air.
Exactly.
And it is like, Ken has picked up on it.
Exactly.
And Ken is like... oblivious.
Exactly.
Also, when, first of all, when Ken is sat in Terry's office and she goes to comfort him, and the way she rubs his back is you can tell she's so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then he says to her, I don't know which of us to feel more sorry for. And his reason that she should feel sorry for him is that he has psoriasis and an undescended testicle. Meanwhile, as far as he knows, she's married with a baby on the way to a man that is in love with someone else. And he's like, honestly, those things are equally as hard. I don't know who to feel more sorry
honestly,
for.
Pregnancy sounds terrible. What does Sue say in the episode?
She says, she has three lines in a row that are literally all
bangers.
They're
bangers.
They're so funny. She says to Terry that she's not surprised that Will is stepping out. She's seen it all the time. It's the same old song. Wife puts on a couple extra pounds. Terry says, I'm pregnant. She says, that's no excuse. And then Sue says, I always thought the desire to procreate showed deep personal weakness. Me, I never wanted kids. Don't have the time. Don't have the uterus.
Don't have the uterus.
Oh my gosh. Also, Sue... this episode is so funny when Emma is telling Will about, they're like, it's right after she wipes the mustard from his chin. And she's talking about how he can motivate the Glee kids because they're all so tired. And she talks about how he could do a sticker board because her parents would do a sticker board for chores when she was a kid. And then Sue goes, oh dear God, please, please stop talking. And then she says that listening to them talk has given her bile in her mouth.
How did we grow up to become Sue? That's what it is. That's what it is.
Sue.
I love her. And the way she just hates Mr. Schuster. God.
She tells Will that he needs to terrify the kids and that every week she picks a Cheerio at random and kicks him off the squad.
Oh my God. What was my favorite thing? My favorite thing she does in this episode is her journals. I think this is the first time we get a Sue journal. And she says that the kids are... she says something... she calls someone... I'm assuming it's me. I'm assuming she's saying this about me. A sexually ambiguous horror movie villain. Can't believe she said that about me. And then she calls the kids bi-curious... oh my God. Machinations of... what? Okay. I don't know what it says.
It's something like bi-curious misshapen teenagers.
Misshapen teenagers, sorry. As you guys know, I had a lot of trouble with my notes this episode. And I
She's
dictated
trying her
that
best,
one.
So get off her back.
Yeah, and this one isn't even funny. It just doesn't even make sense. Yeah, but she calls them bi-curious misshapen teens. And honestly, I love that.
Well, in that same journal entry, she mentions that she broke her blender because she was making a smoothie out of
beef bones. She's like, wow, really woke up on the wrong side of the bed today.
Then she says that the Cheerios need to win nationals because she's saving up money to buy a hovercraft.
Her hovercraft.
And then she calls the Glee Club scab-eating mouth breathers.
Scab-eating mouth breathers.
And then says, look at me. About to turn 30.
Okay, This episode really, like, the musical numbers are few and they're strong. They're strong.
They're incredible.
You can tell they took a lot of time recording it. They, like, there's a lot of effort into the choreography, a lot of effort in the, like, everything about it. Like, it just has so much time and detail put into it. And the writing in this episode is some of the strongest I think we've seen. Like, every scene has, like, just the funniest lines. I laughed so much in this episode. I, like, this is such a strong episode. I mean, other than the Will being an emotional cheater, I don't have much wrong with this episode. I don't know what to say.
Well, an episode that is centered around a performance-enhancing drug scandal in a glee club is, like, prime what these writers do well.
Exactly.
It's so good.
I love it.
One thing I have about this episode.
Okay.
Why? I mentioned this last episode, but it happens on three separate occasions this time. Why do all of these characters insist on having incredibly private conversations about secret things in the middle of the McKinley High hallway between class periods? Freaking Rachel confronts Finn about him being on drugs, and he responds he's so stressed out because his girlfriend is pregnant. He says it full volume. No one knows Quinn is pregnant yet in the middle of the hallway. Later, Terry talks to Quinn in the hallway, and Quinn says that she wants to give Terry her baby. Mm-hmm. I will give Quinn credit. She at least lowers her voice.
Yeah, she's whispering.
But she full on has this conversation, like, just go in Terry's office and talk about this, about how she's like, yeah, I'll give you my baby and I'm pregnant and you're lying about being pregnant and you're lying to your husband. Did you hear that, everyone? Should I say it again?
Yeah.
And then finally, Will and Emma have a conversation about Ken proposing to Emma, and Emma's like, I don't know if I'm going to accept. Can you imagine if you were walking down the hallway, like, you're just trying to go to your history class.
Yeah, literally.
And literally, your two teachers are like, so, you know how you and I are in love with each other?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the football coach just proposed to you. Are you going to say yes? And the guidance counselor is like, I don't know. Is there a reason I shouldn't say yes? I mean, I don't like him, but I do want to bone you, but you're married. And you're like, I'm just trying to get to class.
Yeah, literally.
Like, keep this personal crap on your own time.
Especially because
do not talk about it in front of your classroom.
Offices. They both have their own
offices.
I
know!
Like, I get it. It is. Like, with, like, Rachel and Quinn having a conversation by their lockers, they don't have a lot. They don't have many spaces where they can go. You know, like, I would find a space. Like, duck out. Like, go in a different hallway. Go into a classroom. Anywhere. But, like, especially these adults, Ian, I realized there was a moment where I saw you in Artie Abrams. Artie Abrams did something, and I said, oh, Ian. So, it's when they all figure out, when Will tells them all who they are going to compete against in sectionals.
Is it the high five?
It is the high five. And and Artie goes, we got this in the bag! And he goes to Brittany to, like, give her a high five, and then she turns away from him and then gives Santana a high five. And I said, oh, sweet baby Ian!
What's up, you guys?
Oh, what's up,
Artie
you guys?
Abrams. I'd like to say, if you go on TikTok, on our TikTok, I started a new campaign.
Yeah.
Where every day I make a video and I tag Kevin McHale in it, telling him to listen to the podcast.
How is that going? Has he responded?
Honestly,
yet?
We're gonna lose all of our followers.
No!
Because it's we haven't lost any yet.
Oh, good.
But okay. So here's the deal: we have a lot of followers on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
3/4 of them are clearly not listening to this podcast because I see our numbers and they're not as big as our TikTok followers. So I was trying, and, like, we have a very consistent number of people listening to this podcast. Our numbers are staying, like, they're not lowering, but they're not getting bigger. So I was like, I need to think outside the box because clearly just making TikToks is not working. And then in my brain, I was like, because I know Kevin McHale has responded to TikToks before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if I can get a Glee cast member to acknowledge that this thing exists, our numbers will spike.
We would die.
So that is how I conceived the idea of asking Kevin McHale to listen to this podcast every day. We're on day 5. Who knows how long it's going to go?
Yeah.
Who knows who will break first, Kevin or me?
Who knows? But honestly, I'm excited to see it. Do you want to talk about how good Kevin McHale is in this episode, though? He has, like, the main solo in The Boy, In the boy mashup.
In Confessions.
In Confessions. He goes, this is my confession. And oh my gosh. I think this is maybe the first time we see Artie really do. Well, no. He did like the salt and pepper one.
He's done like vocal runs at the end of the song before.
But this
salt
is the first
pepper,
time.
Salt and pepper, his solo is like just him talking.
Yeah.
This is his first like, yeah.
And he does such a great job. Literally, like, he is so heart. His voice is so heart eyes emoji in this episode. I love his voice. I think Kevin McHale is an amazing singer. I think I'm going to go back and listen to his R&B boy group.
Not Like Them.
Yeah.
NLT.
But you know what made me laugh?
What's up?
I think they do. Yeah. I mean, obviously, Kevin McHale is not a person in a wheelchair. But I think they get better in doing the wheelchair choreography as the seasons go on. But in this episode, his choreography is doing the guitar. And then he comes in the middle. He does his solo. And then he just spins in a circle for like 30 seconds. It is so funny. I think it fits. It fits because, you know, they're all on meth. But it is so funny to me. And like who choreographed that? I love it.
It is especially funny to me because of the main male characters, Kevin McHale's the best dancer.
Yeah. Like, wait, isn't that madness?
Mike Chang and Matt Rutherford are better dancers, obviously, but especially in season one, they don't speak hardly. And so, like, he is, like, so far ahead of any of the other male characters, and yet he's the one that never gets to dance.
I know. Honestly, wow.
Let's dive into these two mashups I want to
talk about. Yeah, let's do it.
First of all, who won?
Oh, my God. I was going to ask you. I think the girls.
Okay, yeah.
I think the girls agree.
I think the girls wiped the floor with the boys. It wasn't even a contest.
No. And, like, we knew they were going to win without drugs, so it's not surprising that with a level playing field, they won again. I think the boys did a great job, but, like, even the note that Rachel hits at the end of the mashup, it shook me to my core. It changed me as a person.
Halo and Walking on Sunshine is one of the most enduring numbers of Glee to me. I know I feel like I say this every week,
I feel like I say that too. I'm like, this is what I think of when I think of Glee.
But like, I used to listen to this one specifically all the time. When I think of season one of Glee, like, this is one of the numbers that comes to my mind. I straight up forgot that It's My Life and Confessions was even in this episode.
Yeah.
Like, that is how much more elevated the girls' number is than the boys.
Yeah.
I forgot the boys even happened.
Yeah.
Also, Rachel kills it, Mercedes kills it. The quiet MVP of this mashup?
Tell me.
Jenna Ushkowitz.
Really?
I'm telling you what, you watch that girl, she is going for it.
I love it.
I was listening to Showmance, and apparently she and Heather Morris took a 5-hour energy and a Red Bull before filming because they like really wanted to do it.
I love that.
She is like so high energy. She does every move like 50% more than the other girls. When they're doing the like back and forth head thing, like from shoulder to shoulder, her head goes like 180 degrees from completely flat to completely flat on the other side. Her face, like, she is a ball of energy. It is absolutely insane to watch. She's hysterical in this number.
Oh, I love
that. And also, fun fact, Jenna Ushkowitz has neck problems to this day from recording this number because she went too hard.
Honestly, makes sense. And I feel like this song, especially like in the context of doing drug enhancing, like, I mean, performance enhancing drugs, pardon me. Like, it just is, it does such a good job, like, at showing us how just manic these teens are, more so than the other one. Like, you can just.
Well, that's why Confessions and It's My Life, Corey Monteith has like insane eyes.
Yes.
And honestly, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, the other guys don't even look like they're going off the walls.
Yeah.
In Halo and Walking on Sunshine, every girl looks like she is 5 seconds away from exploding.
Yeah.
It is so funny.
Yeah.
So funny. And at the beginning, once again, Jenna Ushkowitz being the MVP, when Rachel's talking and it cuts to Tina and she just keeps looking back and forth because she's so excited she can't focus on anything.
Mm-hmm.
Hysterical.
I love it. What does Rachel say before it starts happening? She's like, in this political climate, what we need more of is sunshine and optimism and also angels. And I was like, I want those words tattooed on my heart forever. I love this number. I love that number. They so win.
So good. They win. I know they were both disqualified, but the girls win. Sorry.
The girls win. Sorry. And I like the boys' number a lot. Honestly, I think they do. It's like the best work I think I've seen a lot of them do. And the way Corey Monteith dances, I'm going to say it every single freaking episode, especially in this number. Like, he is literally hunched over running around with a microphone in his hands. It is so funny. Ugh. He does such a... Ugh. I love Finn. I will say it every episode until I stop feeling it. I love Finn in this episode. Oh my gosh. Like, his whole voiceover thing that he does, where he talks about how he's so stressed and how his mom said that he should stop spreading himself so thin, so he gives up doing homework. I was like, literally, Finn Hudson is the man I'm trying to marry. I am in love with him.
Also, that is some relatable content.
I know.
I was watching that and I was like, I forgot being a teenager freaking sucks.
Literally.
You are so tired all the time.
I know.
I remember just like you could lie down anywhere and you would immediately be asleep because you're so tired.
Yeah.
Straight up, there would be days that I would walk out of my last period class and I would think, I don't know if I can make it to my car without falling asleep.
Yeah, literally.
I would be like, I'm so tired, I don't know if I can move my body. I probably should not have been driving a car if I was that tired, but yeah. I never hit anyone, I never got in a car crash, don't worry about it, everyone.
Yeah. As an adult, I make it a rule to not take naps because it really, like, messes with my sleep schedule. So it's like, if I take a nap, then I'm not going to be able to sleep very well at night. When I was a teenager, I took a nap absolutely every single day for at least like 2 hours. So I'd get home from like, I don't know, rehearsal at like 6 o'clock, go to bed until like 8 o'clock, wake up, have dinner, go back to bed at like midnight. Like, I was so like, and you know, this show does such a good job like at making fun of that, but also that's such relatable content. And it's like, oh my gosh, and I totally get that. Like, the pressure you put on yourself, the pressure that like you get socially, and doing homework, freaking growing up, becoming a whole person, your body, like doing the whole thing, that's exhausting. Oh my gosh, what? I would never, ever, ever go back to being a teenager for anything. I hated that.
Jesselyn Gilsig was talking about, because this is the first time and maybe the only time that Terry and Finn ever interact, so it was the first time she ever had a scene with Corey Monteith, and she was saying how literally everyone, why listen to Showmans? I'm just going to recap everything right now, I guess. But she was saying how Finn was such a different person than Corey Monteith was.
Really?
And it was like so shocking to her how well he was able to embody a teenager. And she asked him, like, how are you able to do that? And he said, oh, literally, I just empty my head out completely.
That's awesome. He said head empty. He said smooth.
Seriously,
brain.
No thoughts, head empty.
Literally,
that is
I
me.
Felt that. That's, he's so good. I think Corey Monteith is, oh my gosh, he's so awesome.
While I'm stealing Jesselyn Gilsig's content
give
really
fast.
Give
it to me, give it to me.
So she worked with Ryan Murphy before on Nip and Tuck.
Nip and Tuck.
Yes, and so when they were filming the pilot for Glee, Ryan Murphy contacted her and he was like, hey, so there's this character in this pilot and I can't find anyone to play it and I think you would do a good job. Like, would you be interested? And so then she contacted her representation and was like, I think that Ryan Murphy just offered me a job on his new pilot. And they said to her, don't worry about it. We already told him you're too old and you can't sing. Can you believe that?
For the kids at home, my jaw is open.
Like, she is paying those people to help her find jobs. And they told Ryan Murphy that she was too old, so she couldn't be on the show. Oh
my God.
So then, I don't like Ryan Murphy as a rule.
Yeah.
But here is a moment of goodness coming from him. So then, she kind of argued with her representation about it. And they were like, well, I just think, like, you need to let him know, like, how old you are, blah, 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 because she's 6 years older than Matthew Morrison.
Okay.
And as she said, she was like, and on TV, for you to be a man's peer, you have to be 15 years younger than him. That it's just like, they were like, you're ancient. It's like, we're 6 years apart. It's not that big of a deal. Anyways, so she went to Ryan Murphy and was like, I would be interested, blah, blah, blah. I just, like, want you to know I am older than Matthew Morrison. I am all this stuff. And Ryan Murphy said to her, here's what I know. You're somewhere between 30 and death, and that's what I need for this part.
Okay, listen. I will sit on Ryan Murphy forever, but especially with watching more of his shows, I can really tell that, like, the man knows how to write for women, I feel like. I'm watching American Horror Story Season 2 right now, and it is almost entirely women. Like, and I love that. I love that that happened. Ugh.
Yeah, and he was essentially like, I don't freaking care how old you are. You're great for this part, so we're casting you.
That's awesome.
Also, she said when she was filming, when she had to film her first scene, she didn't know how to approach the character, so she decided she had done Nip Tuck with Ryan Murphy. Her character's name was Gina, and, like, it had been really great. So she was like, I'll just play her like Gina. So, like, she had been practicing like it was Gina.
Mm-hmm.
And she literally gets out of her car at the set for Sheets and Things, and Ryan Murphy comes up to her and he says, okay, so I haven't really figured out who this woman is yet. All I know is that she's nothing like Gina. So she's like, so literally, I had between me getting out of my car and the cameras rolling for me to completely change how this character was supposed to be.
That's so awesome. Oh my God. And she does a great job. God, I love Jesslyn Gilsig.
She's the
big
best.
Big heart eyes for Jesslyn Gilsig.
I have another Jesslyn Gilsig story that I'm stealing.
Oh, definitely.
But it will segue into us talking about other things. So, when Principal Figgins fires Terry and tells Will he needs a co-director, he tells Terry about how Howard Bamboo got arrested because the drug
Howard.
He was buying is a main ingredient in methamphetamines.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, she was like, you need to realize this was 2009. Like, unfortunately, methamphetamines has become much more part of our vernacular just because of, like, the way the world is going.
And Breaking
Bad. She was
bad.
Like, at that time, people didn't say that word very much. And apparently, Iqbal Thiba, who played Principal Figgins, could not say it.
Aww.
So, he would be like, she said he'd be like, it is the main ingredient in methamphetamine. It is the main ingredient in methamphetamine. And she said She and Matthew Morrison could not keep their crap together. They
so
were, like,
funny.
Busting up laughing so much. And she says, you know when, like, you break so hard that you think you're going to get fired?
Yeah.
Which brings me to this question. Lena, have you ever broken so hard during a show that you thought you were going to get fired?
During a show?
Yes.
I don't
because
think so.
Because I have.
Don't tell me.
So, my freshman year of college. Okay, I would just like to say as a disclaimer, Lena and I are very professional. We're hard workers. It's just the few moments when you're not professional make for better stories.
They do.
So my freshman year of college, I was in a musical called Bat Boy. I was in the ensemble. And there is a scene in Bat Boy. There's someone who's half human, half bat. It's very weird. Don't worry about it. And it's like a whole allegory for, like, scapegoating people who are different and blah, blah, blah. So everyone thinks that, like, since this person's half human, half bat, like, they're evil and they're trying to, like, corrupt everyone. But really, they just want to be accepted. Anyways, there is a scene in Act 2 when the whole town is gathered together and this man runs in to tell them that this girl has died because Bat Boy killed her. But Bat Boy actually didn't kill her. The dude did. And so, like, the whole town is panicking and it's supposed to be, like, all dramatic. And then someone shoots off a gun and everyone freaks out and drops to the floor. And they announce, like, we're going to go find this Bat Boy. We're going to kill him. So I was in this show with my girlfriend at the time was also in the ensemble, and we were, like, always blocked together, so we just decided that our characters were in a relationship and we would, like, always talk. And we were supposed to do town hubbub that, like, we're all meeting together, we're all panicked, talk about whatever. I ad-libbed a line to her. My mic was not on. It was generic town hubbub. I ad-libbed a line that is too explicit and inappropriate for me to say on this podcast.
I want to hear it, though. We'll cut it out. Redacted. Keep that in the podcast, I dare you.
No, I'm not.
Please.
Because not only is it inappropriate, it makes me look super immature. But I
you
said
are.
That to her on stage, and she busted up. And so then I busted up. And then we were like, oh no, we are both openly laughing during this, like, the town is horrified scene. So we both fully turned our bodies upstage as if we were, like, talking upstage. We're both laughing. And we were trying so hard to compose ourselves, we stopped paying attention to what was going on in the scene. So the person, like, the gunshot sound effect came off. And we forgot that it was going to happen. So it scared us so bad. So it shot, and we both were like, and literally, for, like, not acting, for real, dropped to the ground in utter terror. And then pieced together that it was the sound effect that has happened in every performance. And then started laughing even harder.
Oh my God.
So we are like, on the floor, faces pressed against the floor, trying to make it look like we're scared. But our whole bodies are vibrating because we are laughing so hard. And then we just had to, like, hop up and be like, yeah, anyway, we're going to kill him and run off stage. Very bad. Oops, I was 18.
Yeah.
This other story happened. I'm sorry, it's happened twice
That's
to me.
Okay. I realize I have one, so I'll share my one.
Oh, do yours now. Do yours now. So, we can do every other.
So this story is from Ian and I one time.
Is this story also about me?
No. You were just around.
Okay, I was going to be like, how unprofessional am I?
You're pretty unprofessional. One time, me and Ian did this thing where I wrote an original Hallmark movie for a school talent show. I did this thing where I, like, hosted like monthly variety shows for my school, and in December we decided to frame the whole variety show around a Hallmark movie, and I wrote myself as the lead because what else would I do, and I wrote in Ian as the main guy because he's the only man I can stand being around. So there's this part where it was my twin sister, like, she was getting married, and her wedding cake was a gingerbread house. And the whole idea was that I was going to get so mad, and I was going to chase somebody around, and then I was going to knock over the wedding cake, the gingerbread house. And so I was chasing this girl around, and it was, like, choreographed that I was going to have to, like, bump into the cake, and it would fly out, and it wouldn't fall. So I'm, like, bumping into this cake while running and then running around and bumping into it again. So it gets to the point where I end up just, like, kicking it. I just end up kicking it. And it flies. The whole thing flies into the audience. And everyone, there's photos of it where you can see everyone is just losing their minds because, like, that's so dumb. Why would I kick this thing? But I needed it to break. That was, like, a vital plot point that the thing was gonna break. And, like, I remember looking at Danny, the girl, and we just look each other in the eyes, and I have to be, like, really upset and, like, mad, and then, like, my sister gets mad at me, and I just, like, nearly cry from holding in laughter. It was so funny. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Best night ever.
Seriously, that show was a blast. It was, like, some of the most fun I've ever had. It was so weird.
It's so weird.
Okay, my final breaking on stage story.
Tell me.
Oh my gosh, you guys. Okay, it was in Joseph.
Oh wait. I have
I
one
need you
Joseph.
To understand, everyone. We did over 80 performances in Joseph.
We did a lot.
We did that show
every single day
for
many months.
Yeah, for months and months. So sometimes you just, like, you do stuff to, like, keep yourself invested. So I played Issachar, which is one of the brothers, and my real life brother Alex played Reuben, who is also one of the brothers. So, like, real life brothers playing brothers in the show. So there was a bit where all of us brothers, because it's based, if you don't know, which, like, if you're listening to this podcast, feel like you do, but if you don't know, that musical is based off the story of Joseph from the Bible, from Genesis. And so Jacob, who is Joseph's dad, had three wives. So there was a bit where we all, like, stood next to our mom, and Reuben and Issachar were from the same mom. So me and my brother were next to each other, and we were just supposed to, like, because we're, like, brothers, so we, like, hate each other, but we like each other. So we were supposed to, like, mess around with each other. So Alex and I would do a bit where I would, like, push him and he would push me back, and the director thought it was, like, so funny, and he was like, keep that, it's adorable, because, like, you're actually brothers. And one day I got, I don't know, I was feeling feisty. And so I straight up, and this is like, other stuff is happening on stage. Like, we're just on the stage and Joseph is singing. And I plugged his nose and I covered his mouth and I whispered in his ear, don't go to sleep. Don't go to sleep. And then I realized that the ear I had whispered into was the ear that his mic was on. And I heard my voice in the audience whisper, don't go to sleep. And I was gone for the rest of the number. I have to say, I'm proud of myself. I think that the audience couldn't tell I was laughing because I kept it together really well. But I truly did not sing a note of the rest of the song because it took so much effort to keep my composure that, like, my eyes were watering and I could only mouth.
Yeah.
Because if I made any noise, it would turn into a laugh. And it lasted. And that opening number is, like, 6 minutes long.
Yeah.
And it lasted through the rest of the opening number that I was like, oh, no, I can't believe I just did that.
I realized I have another story from Joseph. It's so easy to pull stories from Joseph for. But, well,
because we had 80-something performances.
Many, like, in so many. Like, literally. And I went through the gambit of emotions during Joseph. Like, I did a performance, like hours after I had gotten in a terrible car accident. Like, it was crazy. But I remember one time, friend of the podcast, Kirsten Harper, she was sitting in the front row, right where you and I were, during Go, 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 Joseph. And you did your Camp Rock dance.
I forgot I would do that!
I didn't.
Okay, just so everyone knows, during Go, 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 Joseph, there was a moment when the choreographer had the entire cast run in a circle around the stage, and she told us, do whatever dance move you want to do. It's up to you. So I learned the cheer they do in Camp Rock 2, the like, ba, 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 Camp Rock. I learned that cheer, and I would do it as we ran around the stage during Go, 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 Joseph. Okay, continue.
Well, I remember the first time you did that, and I was like, Ian, you belong in jail. Like, I can't believe you did that. And I laughed. I laughed so hard because you were right behind me, and I heard you doing it, and I just kind of looked over and you went, like, you did, like, the dab move. You're like, Camp Rock.
And the, clap thing? Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no, he's doing Camp Rock. And then, so I laughed at that. But then it was one of the last performances. But Kirsten, because you had mentioned, like, you had mentioned on Twitter that you were doing the Camp Rock dance. And you're like, everyone who comes, like, tweet me if you can find it. And she sat right at the corner where you and I were standing. And we both, I noticed her there and she noticed you do the Camp Rock thing and you and I both just like lost it laughing. Like, it was so bad. That's probably the closest thing I have to like a freaking story. God, let's go back. I realized doing Joseph that I am made to perform every single day, yo. I love that
shit.
Doing
a show 80 times, everything happens. There was... So that whole show, wow, this is the Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat podcast, everyone.
I'm sorry.
There was, at the end of Joseph, there's a mega mix where you literally just review every song in the show for like 10 minutes, and that's how the show ends. Mm-hmm. So you just like go over everything again. And during the mega mix, there was a part when I was center stage, like front and center, and I would do a high kick, and then I would run to my other position. And one day, I did the high kick, and I went too hard, and I kicked, and my other leg went out from under me, and I landed straight on my back. And, like, right when I do the high kick, everyone else exits, so it was me alone, fell on my back. I didn't have any time to regain composure. I just stood up, put my hand, like, my fist in the air, and then ran off stage.
Dude, I was incredible. So convinced. I'm, like, as clumsy as they come. I was convinced that especially those stairs, because those stairs were so scary, and they were so steep, and they didn't have, like, a railing. And I would run up and down them constantly during the show. I was convinced I was going to, like, eat. And I never did. And you know what? I thank God for that every night.
I did more than once. I tripped up those stairs at least 3 times. It was also during the Megamix. And I'd be running and I would miss the step, face plant.
Yeah.
And then stand up and keep running. Because during the Megamix, you don't have time.
No,
you gotta
don't.
Go.
You gotta, like, keep rolling. You're like, oh, I can't be in the way. Someone's going to run over me.
Oh my god, I loved doing that show. Let's talk about
Back
Glee
to
now.
Glee, everyone. I'm sorry about that. Was that fun for everyone else? It was sure fun for us.
It was fun for us.
Let's talk about Rachel.
Okay.
She's
not a lot of Rachel
in the episode.
Episode
a lot. Yeah. She's barely in it. I will say, Rachel talks about her morning routine and how she like wakes up and she like puts on her skincare and then she goes on the elliptical and it plays it like a, I don't know the words, like da 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 da.
Ain't nobody gonna hold me down. Uh-oh.
That scene. I say this a lot about these early episodes, and it's just a testament to how influential the first season of the show was on my life.
Yeah.
I think of that scene like once a month. I don't know why. It is truly, I think of her on the elliptical looking at that piece of paper that says sectionals, or the piece of paper that has the like, the, is it like a Tony or
Tony,
a Grammy?
Yeah.
I don't remember. That has the Tony Award on it and that
Grammy
song playing in the background. Which is weird that it would be a Grammy.
Yeah.
I was picturing a Grammy, but I was like, that can't be right.
No,
it has
it
to
a
be
Grammy.
A Tony.
Yeah.
Wow, inconsistencies. But I think of that all the time.
Yeah.
That scene is elite Rachel Berry to me.
Not a lot of Rachel in this episode, though. It's interesting that we hated Acapella so much because it is such a Will-centered episode. And we said last time that we really like it when it focuses more on the kids. And this episode doesn't focus on the kids as much, but it focuses on Terry a lot. And
that's why.
That's why Terry is the bomb.
Because Terry and Sue are the exceptions.
They are.
Terry and Sue, I honestly will take more Terry and Sue over the kids any day.
Yeah.
I think they're so funny. But really fast, yeah, with Rachel, before we jump off the topic.
Okay.
She talks to Quinn because Quinn's been missing Glee Club because Quinn is so stressed out because she's teen pregnant, et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera, et cetera.
And Rachel is like, you need to have all of these friends who are going to support you and blah, 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 which like valid, and Rachel is being nice in this scene. And then Quinn says to her, how can you relate to what I'm going through? And Rachel's like, you don't know. I do relate because people talk about me behind my back. No. Quinn is 16, having a baby. The dad of the baby is like a super deadbeat.
Yeah.
She comes from
a
highly
loser.
Conservative. Yeah. And she comes from a highly conservative household where her parents are likely going to like kick her out of the house if they find out. And Rachel's like, yeah, no, I get it. Because sometimes yeah, people draw pictures of me in the bathroom. That is not the
no
same thing at all.
Yeah, and I totally agree, but like
Rachel,
like, and not to like downplay being bullied, like, great, son, I get it, I really get that.
No,
but
it's
like
terrible.
And bullying is terrible, and Quinn is Rachel's like main bully, you know, but like she is teen pregnant, and the way that Rachel,
yeah,
and I just see how like self-important Rachel is to herself, where she's like, no, like I totally get, I like have had the worst things ever happen to me, I totally understand all the bad things that are happening to you. It's like, come on, Rachel.
Yeah, and it's like, Quinn hasn't been bullied, but she's likely about to experience everything that Rachel's been going
yeah
through. And then on top of that, she won't have a supportive family behind
exactly
her.
Exactly.
And also just like the trauma of giving birth at 16.
Oh my god.
On.
I
don't
even imagine.
Buy it for us.
I realized the other day, Ian, and this actually goes into
yes,
Like, you know how in the episode, like, Ken and Emma decide to get married because they both mm-hmm don't want to be alone anymore? I realized that I am turning 24 this week. I am older than my dad was when he had both me and my sister. I know.
Ooh.
And I think about, like, being married and having kids and how scary that would be. And I thought about how, do you remember, did you ever do this when you were a kid? Like you would have those friends where you're like, if we're both not married by 26, let's get married. You know what I mean? Did you ever have those
super
people?
Didn't. I know
no?
that's a common thing. I was not in on it though.
I had that with so many friends where we were like, if we're both not married by 23, let's get married.
I will say, something I realized while watching this, this isn't just Glee. It's honestly, I think it's mainly The Office. But TV as a child taught me that if you really like someone, even if they are in, like, even if the situation is impossible, like they're married or engaged, The Office and Glee,
jeez,
that if you just like them enough, eventually things will work out. And I like, that is something that is still in my brain that I have to like rewire.
Yeah, no, totally.
But it's like, no, if a person is married, they're married. I mean, I don't have unrequited feelings for people who are married.
I do.
More like
his name
if a
is
person
Adam Driver.
But more like, I just always had that mindset that I was like, you have a soulmate out there, and even if it, like, they get confused and they don't know, so they're in a relationship with someone else. And it's like, no, that is unhealthy.
That's totally unhealthy.
And, you know, in the words of Marina and the Diamonds, TV taught me how to feel. Now real life has no appeal.
It has no appeal. It has no appeal.
The first time I heard... First time I heard that line, I was like, whoa, get out of my head, Marina. Literally. Enough's
enough
with this. One
of the first times you and I hung out, I remember we were in a D&D group together, and we were waiting for the D&D group to start, and we both realized that both of us have that Just Dance dance memorized. So we did it in my freshman year kitchen.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. We're the freaking worst.
No, we're not. We're the best.
What's the video of when we were doing the Star Wars watching party?
Oh, yeah.
And we got up. Was it Wannabe by the Spice Girls?
No, no, no.
What was it?
It was, it wasn't Wannabe. It was probably like...
No. It was Stop Right Now. It was Stop Right Now because we discovered that we both had dances to Stop Right Now. You know, like, stop right now, thank you very much. That we both had dances to Stop Right Now that we had choreographed as children.
Yes.
No. Was it Stop Right Now,
it
or was it?
It was
Spice
You Just
Up
Walk
Your
In,
Life?
I Make You Smile. It's cool, but you don't even know me.
So we both found out that we had dances to Stop Right Now that we had learned as kids. And so we decided to perform them together. And they were eerily similar.
Oh, wow.
Considering
it was scary.
That we did not meet until I was 22 and you were 21. It was weird. But we made everyone sit on the couch and watch us perform these dumb dances to Stop Right Now.
I think half of the group was like going off to get like popcorn, and we were like, we're gonna entertain the rest of the people here.
You were like, don't even fret, we got you covered. We'll make sure everyone has a real good time until the popcorn arrives.
I that's one of my favorite moments of our friendship ever. Like, just like, how did we have the same childhood? Like, I know that like the language that the Spice Girls uses is so descriptive, and that's probably what it is. But like, it was scary. It was so scary. Like, if you guys don't follow us on Instagram, it's on my
highlights. Exactly the same.
Yeah, it was madness. Go find it on my highlights. If you don't follow me on Instagram, please follow me on Instagram. Just kidding. You don't have to.
Back to Glee. I've almost said everything I have to say.
I
just have to do my traditional rundown of notes that I didn't mention.
Oh yeah, I'll do that too. Oh my god. Remember in the beginning of the episode when Will is like trying to get them inspired for competition, and he just like puts up a bunch of random images, and it's like, how is lightning in competition with an above ground swimming pool? First of all, why is Ryan Murphy so obsessed with above ground swimming pools? I swear to fucking Christ.
No,
there's a joke
hilarious about
above ground swimming pools in every episode.
It's so funny. It is because it is like a small Midwest town, so that's like the height of glamour is having an above ground swimming pool. It's hysterical. Honestly, there's not enough jokes about above ground swimming pools in this show.
It's random.
I eat that crap up. But he also puts that bears are in competition with sharks, and that one just gets glazed over.
Yeah.
That's hysterical.
Oh, I have a note in here. Finn wears Drakkar Noir.
I know.
That is so disgusting.
Once again, Lima, Ohio exists in the 1980s still.
The idea of him wearing like Icy Hot, like putting Icy Hot on 3 times a day, which that is so, that's smelly. I know that smell. And then covering it with Drakkar Noir, that being, he's a 16-year-old boy. Imagining that smell gives me a migraine. Drakkar Noir.
I have... Kurt mentions Grape Lady Falls, which
I know.
Pure 2009. What a video.
I love that video.
I watched it. I rewatched it today, and I was like, how can I still quote all of her grunts? It's like, I want you to do it. In time. It's, I can't, And then it goes on for longer.
I totally know.
I was like, how is this so strongly in my mind still all these years later? I also put when Sue says, Ellen, That blouse is just insane.
I know. I don't think I ever understood the bit of her calling her the wrong name.
I know.
Until now.
I never caught that.
It's so fast.
Oh, it is hilarious.
It's so funny. Terry calls the Acafellas the Rockefeller. No, that's just what it says in my notes. I'm sorry. The Acafella.
That's you.
I know. That's my, every time I dictate Acafellas into my phone, it says Rockefeller. It's not even funny anymore. she calls them the Acafella clown shows. And I was like, and Terry.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. The hero we need. My gosh.
Literally.
speaking of Terry, also when she first gets the job, and Will says, but Terry, you're not a nurse. You don't have any training. And she goes, oh, please, Will. It's a public school.
Did you ever have a school nurse? I don't think I ever had a school nurse.
Yes. And the running joke at my elementary school was you could go into the nurse bleeding from the head and she would give you a glass of water and crackers and tell you to go back to class. Because that was all she did.
Shoot.
You would go in and she would just give you crackers and have you drink water and be like, anyways, go back.
I never had a school nurse. Never, not once. I thought it was like, I honestly, to this day, I just think it's a plot device in movies and television.
I don't know if I did after elementary school, but my elementary school for sure had one.
Yeah.
And that's because little kids are idiots,
yeah,
and they will hurt themselves any chance they get. I also, Puck suggests when they're brainstorming for the mashup, he suggests that they get a bunch of trash cans and go stomp this yard. And Artie says, Puck, with respect, you're more helpful when you don't contribute.
Honestly, thanks so much, Artie.
And I would like the writers and Mark Sailing to take note of that and put Puck in the show less, please.
Yep, please. I don't want it anymore. Ooh, okay. Ken, whoa, what a character. I don't love him. He has this line.
I felt very bad for him in this
episode,
for
though. Sure. For sure. But he, you know, and he, I don't know. It's really sad. Anyway, one of the lines, okay, when he's proposing to Emma, literally, I was like, wow, marry me, Ken. He says, I can't promise to pick up my underwear or squeegee the shower door, but I can promise to keep your life clean of sadness and loneliness. And I said, oh, sign me up. I want to marry him. I want a life clean of sadness and loneliness. Thank you. Oh my God. Did you notice that in the scene where the girls are taking the meth, the drugs,
yes,
there's two random Cheerios in the back?
What?
Yeah. So it's like Rachel Quinn, and then Mercedes and Tina, and then two random Cheerios. And I was like,
one of them isn't Brittany?
No, none of them are Brittany. Santana's in the front. At first I was
like, Santana's closest.
Yeah. At first I was like, are they trying to like, are they like body doubles for Santana and Brittany because they couldn't be in a scene? But Santana's in the scene. It's two random Cheerios who are in there taking the pseudoephedrine with them. Why are they here? And maybe it's just because, like, she's drugging the whole school, but also...
Yeah, maybe it was just, like, just letting us know everyone's getting hopped up on drugs.
And that's probably what it is. But I was, like, I thought it was weird and random and didn't make any sense to me.
My final note is just about various clothing. One, Kurt says that he wanted to do the boy's hair in cornrows, which is so funny.
I know.
Two, Mercedes is wearing like knee-high sneakers in this episode.
Yeah, I noticed that.
It looks like she's wearing shin guards. Whoever decided to put her in that, apologize to Amber Riley. They don't look good.
Okay, I've got one more note. One more note.
Lay it on
me. It is my favorite thing on the planet when I see specifically an old woman in a television show be in a stunt thing.
How did I forget that this happens? It's like, it made me laugh so hard.
So in the episode, Sue pushes down the school nurse, pushes the school nurse down the stairs. And it is my favorite thing of all time when a very clearly woman, like, does something and then they replace her with a very clearly male bodyguard. Obviously, gender, it's all the things, but like very clearly like a muscly man who is like a stunt double when he replaces her for the stunt in it, I every time I see it, it is funny to me, even if it's not trying to be funny. But I can, oh, I love it. I loved that so much. Also, her last name is Lancaster, and I've thought about changing my last name to Lancaster. Thoughts?
If you're into incest, go ahead. Be it. Oh, that's Lannister.
Lannister. Lancaster.
Oh, I was trying to make. I was trying.
Lannister.
I was trying to be like, I'm
hip on pop
culture.
You haven't even seen Game of Thrones, dude.
I know. I want to fit in.
You should watch. No, you shouldn't.
Can
watch
you
Game
blame
of Thrones,
me? No, I should not watch Game of Thrones. The things I know about that show, I would not like it.
It's so good. I thought so too. We had talked about it before I started watching Game of Thrones because I didn't think I'd like it for a lot of reasons. But Game of Thrones is amazing. Anyway, not a Game
Anyways,
of Thrones podcast.
All right. Do you have anything else?
I don't think so.
Are we vitamin D'd out?
I think I'm vitamin D'd out.
That's a season wrap on vitamin D. What was your best part, worst part?
Okay, so my best part. Ooh. It's such a good episode. It's hard to pick apart. I'm going to say Finn in this episode. I know it's a very Terry-centered episode, but the parts with Finn I thought were very funny and also very relatable. Like, you know, he's a teen who's really tired and he gives up homework to, like, try and stop spreading himself so thin. He's so funny. He's so cute. I love him in this episode. I love Finn. He just, oh, my God. I love him in this episode. And just, like, his voiceover part is so funny to me. I love it. I think he's great. What an amazing character. I love him so much. Okay, Ian, what was your best part?
My best part probably was a performance enhancement drug storyline taking place in a Glee
so
Club.
So good. It's literally good.
I think that's what the show does best is, like, ridiculous when they don't care about ethics and they just do these like absolutely bonkers ridiculous storylines. Yeah. They're the ones that make me laugh the hardest,
so
and I loved it.
I love them.
What was your worst part?
Okay, my worst part, God, emotional cheating is still cheating. Will is a bad person, and they don't. He is not made to look as bad as he should look in this show, and I don't like it. Thank you, Will. What's your worst part, Ian?
My worst part was Will Schuster trying to lick the mustard off his chin. I could have gone my entire life and never seen that. It was so horrible. It made me cringe. I hated everything about it. Please wipe it clean out of my memory.
Yep.
Anyways, that was vitamin D, everyone.
Yeah, that was vitamin D. All right. So thank you so much for listening. Go ahead and leave us, if you want, if you liked what you listened to, go ahead and leave us a review on iTunes. It helps us a lot. And Ian and I really freak out every time one gets left. We love them so much. If you didn't know, I'm literally tattooing them all on my body. I'll do it over Instagram Live pretty soon. So follow me on Instagram to see that. Go ahead and follow us on all of our social medias. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. We're on TikTok. We're Recovering Gleek_podcast for most of those things, except for Twitter. We're just Recovering Gleek. And yeah, you got anything else to say, Ian?
Go on our TikTok and tag Kevin McHale in all of my videos where I'm talking to Kevin McHale so that he will listen to this podcast.
You know, Ian, your efforts are really valiant, and I just wish that more people give you the credit that you deserve. You're doing a great job.
Yeah.
So go ahead and leave Ian a comment.
This is at you, Kevin McHale.
Yeah, God.
My gosh. Anyways,
all right, well,
thanks for listening, everyone. Hey, I dare all of you to go spread some glee.
I dare all of you to go spread some glee. Oh, God. Thank you for listening. We love you guys so much. Okay. I'll see you later. Right. See you next week, guys.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Do that. Do that.
I can see a halo. Halo.
I would do it, but I live with so many people who would be so mad at me. Ooh. All right. Bye, guys. Go spread some glee. All love you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.